7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Alright, welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, the video game podcast that comes from the trenches right to your heart. I'm your host, Bryant Eco Daniels. And joining me this week, we've got a very special guest. We've got a mini-sode going on. I've got Rez Sonic Mania from Speak Between the Lines. What's going on, buddy?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm excited to be here. I'm a big fan of Skip the Tutorial. You guys are amazing, and just keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it, brother. So you have a podcast out called Speak Between the Lines.
Yes.
I listen to it. I love it. I think it's a fantastic show. Why don't you tell people, our audience, before we get to moving on to the show, where they can find Speak Between the Lines and what the show's all about?
So you can find us pretty much anywhere, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and more or less the show is about three guys just kind of kicking it, talking about finances, talking about personal development, and it's just all about entertainment, man. It's about just giving people a different perspective on things they probably wouldn't think about when it comes to saving or making money or just life in general. And yeah, we let the jokes fly. And hopefully at the end of the day, the person listening, you know, grows from it.
Man, I can attest to this. I have listened to it. I have picked up some tips that I use in my daily life now.
Bet.
I've been given plenty of laughs. I really enjoy it, man. It's a great, fantastic show. I urge all of our listeners to check it out, especially if you're looking for some good financial advice, some good discussion, some good humor. It's got a mix of everything. It's like a Renaissance man show. That's what I love about it. You three guys are fantastic. Yeah, you can feel the energy.
Yeah, because we will talk about each other fast. So, yeah, the jokes are going
to
fly.
That's why you fit in with Skip the Tutorial. We are always willing to do this. Before we get started, I did want to let everybody know, if this is your first time joining us, what we usually do is we discuss the video games we've been playing, we've discussed the video game news, and then we pick a roundtable. However, this is a mini-sode. So our mini-sodes, for our longtime listeners, will know these are top sevens. We pick a topic, we rattle off a top seven. This week is top seven video games we would like to see either remastered or remade.
Yes.
Now, before we get to that, I do want to remind everybody that you can still enter that $35 Amazon gift card giveaway by following us on Twitter at @STT_pod and retweeting our pinned tweet. Make sure to do that. You can like us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast. You can follow us on Podbean, or you can leave us an iTunes review. In addition to that, we've actually got a new iTunes review I want to read real quick. We got one this week from Dan Riley. Dan Riley says, "Hey guys, I randomly found your podcast and I really like it. I like the chemistry between you guys. I have no problems with rants or getting off topic because that is how real conversations between friends go. I'm still not done with all of the episodes, but I'm loving it thus far. P.S. Are any of you guys into MOBAs?" Dan, I believe that we do have a couple of people who join us that are into MOBAs. My favorite game is League of Legends, then probably Overwatch and the past Team Fortress 2. I also love Command & Conquer, RTS games growing up. Thank you guys, Dan. Dan, I want to give you a big shout out for mentioning Team Fortress 2. I played a little over 1,000 hours into that game.
Yep.
So great review. Dan, thank you so much. You are entered into that contest for that $35 Amazon gift card. So, Rez.
Yes.
This week, we're talking top seven video games.
Ready.
We would like to see remastered or remade. Remasters and remakes, very controversial subject.
Is it? Well, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, I can see that.
People don't like it. People have a tendency to say, leave the classics alone. This isn't what
Get
we
off
want.
My lawn.
Get off my lawn. Clint Eastwood pulling those guns out. Yeah, what was that movie
blaze
called?
It. What was that, Gran Torino?
Gran Torino, yeah.
Classic.
Classic, man.
Boy, the ending.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
So sad. He, Clint Eastwood making a career off of playing racist old curmudgeons.
That's real talk.
I like Clint Eastwood to a degree, but yeah. The chair thing. You remember the chair thing where he said, "Here's a chair. Obama sit in this chair," and it was a fake chair. That was a weird situation. I think that man has gone crazy.
There's moments where you kind of want, you have your heroes from your childhood.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to keep them in that box because when they start bleeding over to real life, like for example, Stacey Dash.
Yep.
When I saw Clueless, I was like, holy, she's amazing. Like she's sexy. She's fine. And then she started talking.
Yep.
And it got a little weird.
Yeah.
Got a little awkward.
What's her name from Saved by the Bell? You know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Lisa from Saved by the Bell. I can't remember the actress's real name.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, she's got some psychological issues.
Okay, we'll give her a pass. We'll give her a pass.
Yeah, but she did release a book that had a comma after every single word. So
is that on her or is that on the editor?
I'm pretty sure it's on the editor. Like somebody's like, let me give you a book deal.
Yeah.
It's like, that was a bad book deal.
That was a bad move.
That was a bad move.
Bad move.
Yeah. They give her a book deal with like, I get final edit. No, that's a bad idea. So we're doing our top seven.
Yes.
I want to get it started.
Go ahead.
Rez, what's your number seven?
Oh, man. Number seven on this list, I have to say it's a childhood classic. It got an updated version, but it wasn't good enough. I need Sega Saturn's Knights.
Oh, man, that is fantastic.
I need Knights.
I didn't even think about that when I was building this list.
Man, Knights was, for those that don't remember, when Knights came out, it was the 90s, and Sega Saturn was, you know, fresh on the scene. We thought it was going to be the takeover from Sega Genesis, and Knights just revolutionized everything as far as just allowing you to play a character that's flying through the air, being able to do those tricks, running through the loops, you know what I'm saying? The epic boss battles that that game. And it was pretty mature for a kid's game at that point because that ending fight was pretty dark. Put it like this. They made a better Superman game than Superman.
Yeah, they did. I mean, flat out. Superman 64 is trash.
Trash.
Trash. But Knights?
Knights was amazing. And the soundtrack. Oh, the soundtrack. What was it? Into Dreams?
Yes.
Like, oh my God. So I need that game in my life. I need a remake that's worthy of the legend and the legacy of that game. Knights is my first pick.
I
number seven.
That's a fantastic pick. A fantastic pick.
What about you?
My number seven is one of my favorite childhood games. Mm-hmm. I recently rebought it for PlayStation 1. It is Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver.
Ooh, classic.
Oh.
That is, okay, great pick.
So this is one of those games that just, as a kid growing up who's really into horror movies and like video games and like horror, like Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I really want a game where I can just play as a dude who eats souls and is a former vampire who gets all burnt to a crisp. And then I got that dream come true with Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver. So the thing is I bought this game.
Okay.
It's got some of the coolest combat mechanics. It's got an amazing amount of like interesting puzzle interaction. It's got some clever puzzle techniques into it, and you know, some world traveling that you have to travel between seven different worlds to unlock different parts of these worlds and fight these vampire bosses to get your revenge, because ultimately it's a revenge tale.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. When I rebought it and I plugged into my PlayStation 2 and I put my PS1 memory card in it, it doesn't hold up. The controls feel very clunky. The combat, while interesting, does not benefit from the camera.
Mm.
That being said,
yeah,
I have fond memories of this game, and I want to see a remaster or remake of this game that fix some of those artifacts of the past and bring it to a modern generation. Because I have fond memories of staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning playing this game, enjoying it with buddies.
Old school.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just the fact that it was the first game I played where once I beat up an enemy, the way that you had to kill the vampire was once you beat them to a pulp where they were knocked out, essentially, they were just standing still, you had to pick them up and you had to throw them onto a spike. And you saw that come through their chest. Oh, I've got fond memories, my friend.
That's dope. That actually sounds pretty epic. So I missed that train, but I'm not unaware. So I know about the Legacy of Kain. I've heard the name in video game lore. So I would love to actually get a chance to play an updated version of that. Because, sometimes it's harder to go back as when we go deeper into this list, you'll see there's some games on here that it's just, it's tough.
It's hard, man.
So, yeah, that's a good pick.
I do, it reminds me of our, I did on the last episode, we had a Kingdom Hearts review. I beat Kingdom Hearts. Now, I do want to clarify something about that, is I said it was a bad game. Here's the thing. It's a bad game for 2018 standards. It's hard to go back. Facts. It's just some artifacts, some control schemes left over from a period that we don't use those type of controls anymore. We don't use those type of artifacts or even those type of interactions anymore. Right. And it's a very clunky system that tainted me for my modern day review. That being said, I recognize why that game is legendary in its existence. So I do want to put that out there for the fans of the series.
That came after you?
Yeah, that came after me. I recognize why it is. And I think it's a charming as hell game. What's your number six, Russ?
Let's see. Number six, I'm gonna go with this game just because I speed run this game, and I am all about that life. I need them to update and remake Mega Man X.
Totally.
Mega Man X 1. Totally. I need that. And I know what was that? I think they did Mega Man X Hunter.
Yeah.
It didn't really work out for me.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, so I need them to, like, Mega Man X was that game where it was the perfect rock and roll soundtrack. The highway, when you first touch down, like, you feel like an unstoppable killing machine.
Yes.
And to be able to get into the game. And I remember, you remember at the end of the first level, you fight Vile. And Vile is in this armored tank. And he, like, crushes you. And at that time, video games, they weren't like the new age games where they say, press A to do such and such. Or, a voice bot. Like, you just fought him. He didn't have a health bar. So you didn't know if he was winning. You didn't know if he was losing. And then he just stomps you out.
Oh, just destroys you.
Yeah. He asked on me. I had nothing left.
He's like, "You ain't shit."
I was like, "Is that supposed to happen?" And the storyline comes. I was like, "Oh shit!" Like, I couldn't beat that dude. And then the whole thing is about progressing to the point where you're gonna take this motherfucker out.
Absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
It's storytelling at its finest, and I need that in a next gen engine.
Yep.
With the ability to do co-op. Could you imagine if you could co-op that game?
That would be amazing.
Bro.
It'd be stunning.
I need that in my life.
Dude, I'm with you 100%. Fist bump on that because I'm with you. Mega Man X is just one of those. It holds those that nostalgia.
Yes.
And that factor of, like you were just saying, you drop on that highway, that rock and roll soundtrack.
Yes.
Feel like an extreme badass. And man, I really regret not putting Mega Man Zero on my list. I should have put Mega Man Zero.
You should have put Mega Man Zero. I'll tell you this real quick on Mega Man. So I remember the first time I tried to speedrun that game. Like, before I knew what speedrunning was, I could probably finish that game in maybe an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When I first started speedrunning that game, I got it down to maybe an hour and 10 minutes.
Ooh, that's quick.
Not really.
Really?
Right now, my best time is 46 minutes.
Holy
35
shit.
35 seconds.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
Like, and we were running that last Monday.
Oh, my God.
46, 35 is like, I'm trying so hard to beat that. I think the world record is like 37 minutes. So they're like smoking me. Like, I'm not even close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just the game is perfect. It's just a perfect game. So
it is.
I need that.
I agree with you, man. I need that. Everybody, the world needs that right now.
Yes.
Let's all remember the goodness of Mega Man.
Yeah, not the trash that we got right now. Sidebar. What is Capcom doing?
I have no idea. They're selling all their properties to make Pachinko machines? Pachinko machines. That's pretty much it.
That's sad. All right.
It depresses me. And I love Capcom. I did love Capcom.
Yeah.
I have a Capcom, like, three Capcom t-shirts, and I still, like, I wear them.
You remember when the Capcom logo used to come on?
Yep.
And then you just knew something amazing was going to happen?
Because it was good. You knew it would be good.
Oh, my God.
It'd be good.
I'm off.
It's like Platinum. Like, Platinum is now, like, where Capcom used to be. Yeah. Platinum Games does what they used to do well. My number six is a classic PS2 RPG.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite games. It's probably my top 10 list. It is Rogue Galaxy for the PS2.
Good pick.
This game, you can buy on PS4 the PS2 version. And if you haven't, I absolutely suggest it. It's got one of the coolest interactive combat systems. It's got a great art style. It's got a really deep, enthralling storyline. It takes place in space. There are swords. What more do you need? Really? It's got an anime style to it.
Yes, it does. I remember the cover of that. Yeah, I do.
I love the style of this game. The soundtrack is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's got a lot of really deep progressive themes that were not really being explored at the time during RPG era on the PS2. That outside of Final Fantasy.
Mm.
This is one of... I must have spent 100 plus hours in this game on a regular basis. It is a game that if we're going to be remastering and remaking things, this is a game that deserves to be brought to a new audience. Mm. So they can enjoy that storyline. They can enjoy that combat. The challenges were deep and enthralling and difficult, extremely difficult, especially for an RPG at that time. But I definitely want to recommend Rogue Galaxy for a remaster. What is your number five?
Well, it's Final Fantasy VII. And it's coming.
Is it? Hopefully, maybe.
I don't know. All right, so I'm gonna tell you.
I want to believe it is.
I want to believe it is too. The only reason I'm saying this, and I hate that. I don't hate that it's coming out. But the only reason I want to say this because I missed Final Fantasy VII. It was one of the greatest video game tragedies of my life.
I understand.
I was Team Saturn. Because remember, I was rolling with knights.
Yep.
And I had to choose. I was like, I wasn't on no speak between the lines stuff. Like, I didn't have money. So my parents was like, yo, you want a Saturn or you want a PlayStation? And stupid me, I'm like, I'm rolling with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep.
And I ain't even a damn Sonic game. I got trash-ass Sonic R, trash-ass Sonic 3D Blast. Sonic Extreme got fucking canceled.
Hell yeah, dude.
Like, I was like, why?
I forgot about Sonic Extreme. Those words still bring memories of sadness ruminating through my body at the moment.
Epic depression, brother.
I imagine so.
So, and imagine the horror when I find out that Final Fantasy VII came out and it took the video game world by storm.
It blew everybody's mind.
And I had no way to, like, wasn't no YouTube, so I couldn't even watch people play it at that time.
You could see images in a magazine.
Yes.
A capture image of a video game.
Like, come on, man. So, yeah, I need Final Fantasy VII to come out, and hopefully they do it right.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to ask you if you trust that they're going to do it right, because I need that game.
So, the things that I've seen from Final Fantasy VII Remake, I do trust it to bring it to a more modern era.
Okay.
Because I do play Final Fantasy VII. Generally speaking, I play it once every couple of years.
Okay.
Because I get a lot of... Now, I don't always finish it, but I always go back to it.
It's a long run.
It's a long game. I mean, it fairly is. I mean, I'll usually get about 40 hours in before I'll stop.
Okay.
Because I've played the game. I've played the storyline. I've gone through and, you know, done everything, beaten Sephiroth, done what I needed to do. Now, the images I've seen from it, being a huge fan of Final Fantasy 15 that I was, I like the way that they're incorporating some of that combat and some of those mechanics. Or what it looks like they're doing for Final Fantasy VII.
So let me ask you, because I heard this was controversial. Is it not turn-based like it normally is?
That's what I've heard, is they've brought it back from the turn-based to the more action style that they started with 12. And then they dumped it for 13, and they're back to it for 15. And I enjoyed Final Fantasy XV's action style RPG combat. I thought it was very intuitive where a lot of people didn't. I thought the combat system, while deceptively complicated, was very simple, but was as complicated as you needed it to be. And that story brought to a modern era, Final Fantasy VII, is one of the greatest RPG stories of all time.
Facts.
It is. It is. It's a beautiful story with a lot of tragedy. And the only thing that I hope that they fix is making Cloud not so emo. I need a little brighter version of Cloud. Like, he's not the best character in that game.
Oh, not even close.
No.
I didn't even play the game and I know that.
Yeah, like, he's not. And he's constantly he just seems like a real sad person all the time. And I feel like he should be listening to Dashboard Confessional and, like, smoking marijuana in his room while he tries to hide it from his parents.
Oh, man.
Like, that sort of thing. Yeah. That's how I feel about him.
Okay, so what do you got?
My number five is a classic Xbox game. It's an original Xbox game. So when I say Xbox One, I'm talking about the original Xbox. Yes,
the spiritual successor to the Dreamcast.
Yes, the spirit. Absolutely. Man, good one right there.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's a classic RPG, Jade Empire. Jade Empire is one of these... a lot of people slept on it. And the reason was because... I mean, while it got great reviews, it was an original IP. It was looking to be one of the coming up games for the original Xbox. But the thing about it, that cover is fire, man. Oh, I love that cover. So it was a dream project, and it had a morality system similar to Knights of the Old Republic. So it was an action role-playing game where you take on the available characteristics of a spirit monk. And so you've got all these different combat options open to you of the way that you want to play the game. But the morality decisions is where it really hit. So while Knights of the Old Republic had an interesting morality system to it that would affect the story, this was the first game that I ever played that the morality system actually personally affected me. So,
okay, now that's powerful.
Yeah, like the way they design the story, the way that the legend unfolds before you, the way that they set up your background, your past, and the way that you interact with the environment and the dialogue from the characters and the way that you deal with them directly, when you have to make those decisions come at a cost. And later on in the game, while the cost seems very minuscule at the beginnings of the game, when you get further on in the game, that cost becomes... it becomes harder to take. It becomes harder to take on that cost. Mm. And so it became a very interesting game for a personal exploration almost. And on top of that too, the combat is some of the most fantastic combat I've ever had to deal with. You can see where games like Sleeping Dogs took a lot from Jade Empire.
So when you're saying that the decisions actually affected you personally, that to me suggests that the storytelling is incredible.
Incredible. So, absolutely incredible.
Would you agree it's probably one of the greatest stories told in a video game?
I would absolutely say that. And it's in the way that they do it is very clever because they do it through the characters. So there's not a whole lot of exposition given to you. There is at the beginning.
Right.
But the rest of the story... while you have a lot of games where it's like you have to go discover these small artifacts that deliver the story, most of the story is given to you through characters.
And that's beautiful.
That was amazing to me.
That's absolutely
beautiful. What's your number four, my friend?
Shenmue.
What?
Shenmue.
Love it.
Shenmue.
Love it.
Dreamcast, man. Like,
one of the greatest ever.
You know what this episode is revealing to me? I really was Team Sega. I didn't realize. I didn't realize how Team Sega I was until just this moment.
We should have had you on the classic Sega games.
You should have.
We should have. Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, man. Shenmue was, oh, man, that was an all-world game. I mean, all-world. Like, the way they opened up the world.
And it was groundbreaking.
It was groundbreaking. And sidebar... God damn it. You people piss me off because you killed the Dreamcast because you kept burning their goddamn games. They were so pirated. They were so ahead of their time. Like, the things that the Dreamcast was doing were revolutionary. I fully expected them to compete with PlayStation 2. And all they had to do was put a damn CD, DVD in their damn game and we would have been fine.
Yep.
But I digress. Shenmue. Amazing storytelling. I felt for that character.
Mm-hmm.
The journey that he went through, the interactions in the city, like just to be able to walk around and touch bases with people and have that come back around at a later time. Like Shenmue was just, it was cinematic. That might be the best way I could say it. It was cinematic. There's another game on this list, on my list, that of course I also feel that way about, but like, for me, I could watch Shenmue right now on YouTube as a movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% correct.
And I would be fine. So I need them to bring that back. And I need that story. I need that original. I don't want no update or follow. I need that one.
Yeah, because they've got Shenmue 3 coming out. Yes. And they've got 3 coming out this year. But right. I am with you. I want that original story.
One. Yes.
I want that story so much. Have you given any shot to the Yakuza games?
You know what? I have not. But just the fact that you mentioned it and the respect I have for this show, I'm going to actually play that.
I think you would like those. Yakuza 0. Try Yakuza 0. Yakuza, it came out It came out for PlayStation 4 last year. That game was... I felt a lot of the same emotions that I felt with Shenmue. Now, there was more extremes. Right. It wasn't as subtle as Shenmue was in the way it delivered on the emotional impact. But that being said, it reminded me quite a bit of the way that I felt when I first played Shenmue. And to be fair, Yakuza 0... which was a prequel, was my first Yakuza game. So I definitely, yes, okay. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, locking it up.
My number 4, I like, to a degree, fighting games, or flying games, sorry, not okay. Fighting games. I do like fighting games, but that's not what this is. I like stuff like flying combat video games, but the thing that I enjoy about them is not the realism. I like stuff that is more arcade-ish. And okay. So what I want as a remake is a 64 game, a Nintendo 64 game that I thought was one of the greatest flying combat games of all time, which was Rogue Squadron.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. My God. Yes.
Absolutely.
Bro, just go.
Rogue Squadron. Yes. Star Wars.
Yes.
Not only do you get to fight the battle on Hoth.
Oh, that's a hell of a pick.
You get to do the Kessel Run. You get to fly in a TIE fighter. You get to fly in an X-Wing. You have all of these options before you. And the controls, it was the first time out of a Star Fox game. So generally speaking, up until games in 3D started coming out, most flying games that you had were either flight simulators on PC.
Right.
Combat games on PC that were, well, okay, very difficult to control. Very hard to control, because a lot of games went for the first person cockpit view.
Right.
But you had Star Fox, which was more arcadey.
It was kind of like a rail system, though.
Kind of a rail system, yeah. Rogue Squadron truly felt like an open flying combat game.
Yes.
Where you had the opportunity to play in the sandbox of the Star Wars universe with those vehicles.
Yes.
Which, for me, outside of Knights of the Old Republic, Star Wars is best in a video game when I'm getting to use the vehicles and the weaponry.
Yes, absolutely.
It just
like, could you imagine? So, Knights of the Old Republican, of course, classic.
Yeah.
What was it? Star Wars,
The Force Awakens.
Was it Force Awakens?
No, that's the movie.
Force Unleashed. So, could you imagine?
Sorry, I saw my poster of the Force Awakens. I was like, Force Awakens.
You know what's crazy? That poster influenced me, because I was going to say Force Awakens, and I was like, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
So could you imagine that, Force Unleashed?
Oh.
With that element to it?
Oh, that would be so good.
It's perfect.
That would be perfect.
A perfect game.
Oh, that
would be perfect. With the storyline of, like, Old Republic. Oh, my God. Listen.
Just, they need to do this.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know if we need to start do a Kickstarter or whatever, but
yes,
that game has to happen.
That game has to, I need that in my life.
I need that in my life, without question.
Because the state of like Star Wars gaming is utter trash.
What a state of Star Wars movies are almost. There's a lot of controversy.
There's a lot of controversy.
I liked half of the last one.
I liked it, but I put Star Wars on a different, like, I don't review those honestly because I'm just 12 when I watch those again. Like,
right.
I can't, the music hits and I'm like, oh, what time is it?
Yeah. No, I mean, like I get sucked into anything Star Wars. Like, when Force Unleashed dropped, I was there. When Rogue Squadron dropped, I was there. Like, I was in. So
absolutely.
So I'm right there with you. The only thing, you know, sidebar was the Leia going into space thing, and I was like, oh, this is a great send-off. And then,
absolutely.
Then when she came back, I was like, oh, you messed it up.
Yeah, that part messed
up. That was the only thing.
I agree with you.
So, but, yeah. Boy, yeah, this list is dope. This list is dope.
This is a game. This is a list that I think the industry needs to pay attention to.
Yes, but please.
Please do. Real quick, before we move on, little sidebar. Have you watched The Clone Wars? The TV show?
Okay. I have not. However,
okay.
I've been told that is a really important part of the lore.
Yes, and it's amazing. It is so well done.
I have my Cody.
All right.
And that will be on my bucket list.
Yes.
Because I have to power through that because I'm told that I will be getting some revelations about some things that tie into the movie. And credit to Star Wars, I didn't think they would put something that important into a kid's show. And I respect them ultimately for doing that because I'm a kid at heart. I still watch Darkwing Duck. Yep. I still watch Gargoyles. Absolutely. I still watch Sonic the Hedgehog on TV. I like,
man, fist bump for yes. Gargoyles. Gargoyles, dude.
Gargoyles was between, oh boy, that's a whole nother list.
Yeah, it's a whole nother, but yeah.
Between that and Batman animated series, just cartoons on the highest pedestal. So yes, to answer your question, I will be watching that, but I have not yet. Please don't spoil me.
I won't spoil it. I will tell you what it did for me.
Okay.
It made me, I still don't like episode one. I think Phantom Menace is not a good movie. However, watching The Clone Wars made me really like episodes 2 and 3. Like it, and that's I already amazing. Liked episode 3, but it pushed it higher because I was like, oh, I see what you were doing. I see where this story was, and it was kind of stunning.
Then that's a must watch for me because I already like episode 3.
Oh, me too.
So yeah. If it's going to appreciate just
gonna,
it.
It's gonna enhance that
for that's you. Amazing. Yep.
Absolutely.
I'm good with that.
What is your number 3?
Ooh, it's getting tight. All right. So number 3, I have to go with the cinematic classic that is Metal Gear Solid.
Perfect.
Solid Snake.
Oh, so good.
It is, without question, the best Solid Snake story that ever was told. Now, before anybody jumps down my throat, Metal Gear Solid 3 is the best Metal Gear Solid game, in my opinion.
I'll agree with that.
However, it's not a Solid Snake story. Spoilers.
Yeah. If you haven't played it, it's not.
It's not a Solid Snake story. So, I feel very comfortable saying Metal Gear Solid 1 was the best Solid Snake story. I feel like the cracks and crannies of that factory. Like it's almost like I could see the rust on the walls. And to see Snake go through this journey, and hopefully, spoilers for anybody who hasn't played this classic, shoot yourself if you have not played this game. To see the inferior brother overcome the favorite, the dominant brother, while the dominant brother thinks he's the inferior one. Oh my God. It was just the plane, the Hind D, that fight. And here's why I want the remake, GameCube. I don't want the Matrix.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Solid Snake jumping off missiles, doing backflips before he shoots a rocket to knock down a Hind D and then wink at the camera.
Yeah.
I don't
want that.
I don't want Mario and Yoshi in the back of Otacon's lab winking at me while they do a quick zoom in on him before he fights the cyborg.
Yeah, that takes you out of it.
Now, I will say they did the death scene.
Yeah.
With the Metal Gear and what was it, Frank?
Yeah.
I want to say it was Frank.
Frank, yeah. We'll go with it.
We'll go with it. But the cyborg, the end fight, I almost want to say it was probably better than PlayStation. Don't kill me. It's blasphemy. But
the way it looked. I disagree with you, though. Like, it looked great.
It looked amazing.
It felt more impactful.
It did.
The audio chip was better in the GameCube, and it sounded better.
Yes.
Just all of the above.
And we cannot mention this game and not mention the god, Psycho Mantis.
I was just about to bring that up.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're going to remake the game, Psycho Mantis, he's got to play a trickster like he did in the first boss battle where you ever fought against him. However, they have to change it up because everybody's going to know, oh, I just turned my controller off. Right. Now you got Bluetooth.
Right.
So you got to do something to combat that. You have to make it interesting. Like, I wonder if there's another way. Maybe it pops the disc out for some or something that it does. It has to do something interesting.
You know what? That could work, because think about it. So you have to download the game first.
Yes.
So it's already on the system.
It's already on there.
All right. So what if you unplug the controller and you port over to controller 2 And he says something along the lines of, and this is cheesy, so they'll remake it a better, but
yeah,
like that's not going to work this time or something like
yes.
that. Like just an illusion.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, you think I haven't been upgraded or something like that.
You think I haven't done my research.
Oh, that's yeah. even better line.
Yeah.
Let's go Hollywood. And it doesn't work. And then ultimately you do have to eject the disc, but remember it's already downloaded, so it won't matter.
It won't matter.
And oh. that would be the key.
Oh, that'd be so
That
good.
Would be perfect.
Or like it could even do something like, and if you don't do it, he goes through and he starts like it pulls up your PlayStation menu for your saved games and it just starts deleting all of them.
Oh my God.
Like it just takes you through like a system where it's just like, all right, oh, you thought you 100%ed Assassin's Creed?
Oh, nope. That's God. Gee. Oh my God, that is amazing. Or I mean, you can play with the paranoia of Big Brother.
Oh.
And they can pull your web searches.
Oh.
Pornhub.
Could you imagine?
X videos. Oh, so you like going to X videos.
Or like, what if it had like the PlayStation, like you have the PlayStation camera on and it just like clicks on and then brings up a screen and starts watching you.
Oh my God.
There's so many things they could do with this.
That is amazing.
There were so many things.
That
would be stunning.
I think that might be the best. Yes, this game has to be made just for that scene.
Just for that alone.
Wow. Okay.
And even if you don't remake the whole game, remake that sequence for people to play. Just yes. to mess with people.
Yes. Okay, cool.
All right. That was awesome.
All right, what do you got?
My number three, it's a GameCube classic. You brought up GameCube. It's a game that seems to be lost to time for people that are not of our generation. That never played with GameCube. Eternal Darkness. This is... It needs to be brought back in a big way.
But is that our fault? Because the GameCube really wasn't... It didn't hit the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, and it's a great system.
It is.
That's the thing, is like, it didn't hit for Nintendo. Because Nintendo has always been like on and off on their consoles. Like, starting with the GameCube. Because the GameCube was a miss. The Wii was a hit.
Yeah.
The Wii U was a miss.
Yeah.
And now the Switch is huge.
Yeah, it was.
One of the biggest selling systems of all time.
Right.
Just like the Wii, they're breaking records. Eternal Darkness, though, is one of these games that nobody talks about, nobody references on classic game lists. Not only is the story fascinating, so the story is you play this female who comes to this old mansion that you've inherited through your uncle. I believe it's your uncle. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've played it. However, you get there and you start to discover family secrets. Well, when you're going through the mansion and exploring, you get what blew my mind is you start reading like journals of like somebody who you're related to from ancient Egypt. Well, then the game takes you to ancient Egypt and you have to play as that person.
That's fire.
Dealing with this ancient evil.
That's fire.
Now, instead of a health bar, though, you have a sanity meter. Because the things that you're facing off against drive you insane because it's very like Lovecraftian terror, cosmic horror stuff. So the more you get hit, the more your sanity meter goes away, the game starts to mess with you. So the screen will start to tilt.
Wow.
Or fog will start to appear where you can't see things. Or you'll start seeing enemies that aren't actually there in the game. Beautiful, wonderful, amazing, mind-bending, stunning. It's one of my favorite games of all time. And it needs to be brought to a new generation.
I will say that I have not played that game, but you have completely sold that game.
That game needs to be.
I can almost envision the game in my head, and I have to experience that.
I definitely recommend it. And I wish there was like other ways to play the game besides emulating
yeah.
it. But the problem is there's just nowhere to really play the game. And I will say this, if you have to emulate it, go ahead, and if any questions come up, just let me know. I'll give you my copy for the GameCube, and people, I own the game.
That's dope.
There we go. I own the game. So, all right, buddy, what's your number two?
All right, so this was a toss-up for me, and just to give a heads up, so my last two are going to come from one of the best systems that were ever created, changed the world, and I got to give a shout-out to the pioneer of video games himself, Mr. the Italian Promler. Mario. I need Mario 64.
Absolutely.
Remade. Now, I have to give credit to a gentleman who put this game together, Mario 64 Star Road.
There we go.
That was very well done.
Absolutely.
Absolutely well done. and to a lesser degree Nintendo, and you know, they tried to do the Mario DS thing.
Yeah.
And I see what they try to do, introducing Yoshi and all that, but I'm not really feeling that. Here's what I need. I need Mario 64 updated to look like Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And I need co-op.
Co-op would be amazing.
I need Mario.
Co-op would be amazing.
And Luigi going through Mario 64 with that storyline, going to Bowser's castles, fighting all the, like that classic Bowser song when you first jump in the painting.
Oh, man, that's so good.
I need all that.
I can picture it.
I need all that. I need to, the surround sound now because technology sped up and you got the bowl system. Like, I need that remade HD, going through the castle, jumping through paintings, collecting the stars, like tag teaming with Luigi to try to catch that white rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I need all that.
Oh, dude, that white rabbit. Oh, so, that white rabbit pissed me off.
He pissed me off.
I want to eat that white rabbit. This is like cooking for dinner.
For real.
And especially with like the way that they like handled Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey is fantastic.
Beautiful
but
game.
You could bring a revamped, remade version of Mario 64 to the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Fix the camera.
Please fix the camera.
Fix the camera.
Yes.
That camera is so frustrating.
Yeah.
And I bought it for the Wii U. And then I was playing it and I was like, oh yeah, I hate this camera. I love this game, but I hate this camera.
And I saw what they tried to do with the camera, because you remember they had the little Goomba in the cloud.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so it's he's cute. Actually following me, but no, fix it.
Fix it, please.
Yes.
Fix it. Man, that would be fantastic.
I need that.
The bomb fight.
The bomb.
The King Bomb fight.
What was that, the Mario Brothers movie with, who was that?
Oh, that was John Leguizamo and
no, who played Koopa?
Oh, it was Dennis Hopper.
Dennis
Hopper, dude.
Monkey.
Oh, God. You just reminded me of something I've been blocking out of my childhood forever.
That was a tragedy.
That really was. I want to, they are supposed to be doing a Mario movie.
Stop it. Don't.
Animated.
No.
So they're doing it animated, and they're doing it supposedly what's in talks right now. I'll believe it when I see a trailer, because they've been talking about this for years.
So who has a big, go ahead.
It's Studio Illumination, the guys who do the what's those annoying little yellow creatures from
Minions.
Yeah, those guys.
Okay, I can kind of trust them.
I could trust them for sure with that material. I'm not a fan of the Minions, but
no.
That being said, I like the first two Despicable Me movies.
Those were very good, actually. Yeah. Very good.
I haven't seen the third one yet. So
I haven't either.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't hear any buzz about it.
Yeah, just that it had Trey Parker from South Park in it, playing the voice of the brother. And I was like, I kind of want to see that now. Yeah, Trey Parker. Dude, Mario 64, that's such a good good selection. I thought about it, too. I thought about putting that on there.
Yeah.
I really did. See, that's where we lined up.
Brother.
Right there.
All right, what do you got?
Number two from me. It's a slept-on RPG from the PS1 days. It was Square.
Shout out to Square.
Square is amazing. This was an attempted replication of a Final Fantasy VII, except that's what everybody called it, and it really wasn't. It did its own thing. Legend of Dragoon. One of the greatest RPGs I've ever played. Here's the thing about this game. It's gotten a lot of flack for trying to recreate, quote-unquote, Final Fantasy VII, but it doesn't. Does it use some of the same turn-based animations? Yeah, it does. Does it use some story beats a little bit, kind of? But the difference between this and Legend in Final Fantasy VII is the combat system is much more enthralling to me. Because while Final Fantasy VII has a great turn-based system, and it was very deep, and you could combat, and you could pair up people, and you could build off of each other, and you know, you had your healers and stuff, which is in Legend of Dragoon. Legend of Dragoon had this Dragoon system, and it had a combo system. So specifically for your fighter character, you had the ability to go to a quick time event whenever you selected your attack. When you went to the QuickTime event, you had to press the buttons in order, just like any type of rhythm game or QuickTime game. But if you did it correctly, your destructive nature really unleashed upon your enemy. And it felt so good. And the thing about the QuickTime event is it was difficult. It was difficult to master. And the more combos you learned, the harder those QuickTime events became. But they were worth it to take the time to grind it out to figure that out. And then turning into a Dragoon. So when you turn into a Dragoon in the game and you actually have the option to just decimate somebody with amazing mystical magical powers like any RPG.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing and stunning, and it had this kind of like political underlay, and there was these familial concerns and stressors through the game that really brought out in you this need to win.
That sounds so rewarding.
It was so rewarding.
That sounds so rewarding. So
that's the word, rewarding. That's what I was looking for.
So you're trying to basically as you grow with your character,
yes,
you learn the combos. You have to do the quick time. If you do the quick time, you get the reward of doing more damage.
Yes.
But the quick time gets harder the more you excel.
The more you excel, the harder the quick time gets. So when you
really
gets,
pull it off, it's just like...
It feels good.
Hell yeah.
It feels so good. Like, it feels like one of these things where you're like, I did it. I actually did. I can't believe I did it. And then once you figure out how to do it, you keep doing it. And you're like, oh man, that's easy. And then you get to the next one and you're like, how am I ever going to learn how to pull this one off?
Right.
And then you do it, and it just keeps, you keep growing with the game.
That's it. You grow with the game.
You
know how amazing it is to have an RPG? Because that's the thing with RPGs, is like the nature of it is to grow a character, but you're actually growing with them. That is another level.
That is a whole nother level, dude.
That's insane. Cause yeah, you know, you can cheat and just, you know, do fruitless battles over and over again and level up. But like, as a person, your skill set leveling up with the other characters versus just saying, oh, well, I'm just gonna push this magic potion and then hit them.
Yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah, that's it was dope. Cool, man.
That's
it
fire.
It's one of the best like games of all time that does not get enough credit. And it needs to be brought to a new generation.
Because it lives in the shadow of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, it does. Because it came out shortly after Final Fantasy VII. So everybody just said, oh, you're just copying.
What do you think would have happened if it would have came out first?
That would have been... We would have been talking about a different series, I think. Like,
wow.
Like, I think Final Fantasy VII is amazing.
Right.
And I will say that. But I honestly think that if Legend of Dragoon had come out first, that we would have been talking about a different series right now. And we would have still been talking about Final Fantasy VII, but we would have also been putting Legend of Dragoon, that series, up there with Final Fantasy.
Timing.
Yep. It's all timing. It's all timing. What's your number one? All
right. So, well, actually, honorable mention, since you mentioned Dragoon, was, what was that Sega Saturn game? Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Panzer Dragoon was amazing.
Fire.
Yo,
it was fire.
Absolutely.
So, I'm going to throw that in there for honorable mention. But number one, one of the greatest games of all time ever made, the pioneer, the godfather of next generation first person shooters. Men wanted to be him, women wanted to be with him. 007, James Bond, GoldenEye.
Ooh, right there.
GoldenEye has to be remade with respect, love, and care, because who did not grow up wanting to be James Bond? I don't care if it was Sean Connery. I don't care if it was Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's Daniel Craig. Like, we want to be James Bond. And to be able to go through that movie, which was a very, very good movie. Like, GoldenEye the movie?
I like that movie a lot.
006?
Yes.
He was about that business. He was about that life.
Hell yeah.
So yes, I want to be able to... to go through the facility, you know, jump down from the vents on the soldier, pop him, you know, while he's on the toilet seat.
Yes.
Open the door in all the HD 4K glory.
Mm-hmm.
I want to walk down the stairs, go through the tanker scene. I need that. I want to jump on the train and try to pop 006 before he jumps down the hatch.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to pull a watch out and actually cut the floor up just to escape before the bomb goes up. Like, I want that. I want to go in the jungle and fight Xena.
That jungle level was so good.
It was amazing. Everything was dog, they had the Gatling guns,
yep.
Camouflage. Like, I want that. And matter of fact, what's my girl name? She played she was in X-Men 3. She played Jean Grey. She was
Xena
in GoldenEye. It's the same chick.
Oh, it was
I forgot her name.
I forgot her name.
But she was fine.
I'm actually looking her up.
Yeah, she was badass. Like, I mean, she was bad. She was fine in that movie. Like, when I watched that movie, I was like, yeah, James, you should have fucked her. I'm sorry, bro. Like, yeah.
Without a question, too.
Like, Xena, I think was her name is. But regardless.
Oh, Famke Johnson.
Yes, her. Yeah. Oh, my God. She's bad.
Johnson, something like that.
Something like that. But, yeah, I need that in HD. Now, there was a developer who remade GoldenEye. It was called, I want to give him credit, GoldenEye Source. So, if you YouTube GoldenEye Source, it's a HD remake version of that game. It looks splendid. It looks amazing. So I want to give that developer all the credit in the world.
I thought I was one of the only people that knew about GoldenEye Source, but I was going to bring that up. GoldenEye Source is fantastic. I played that online because it's got the multiplayer only, right?
Right.
And it brought back so many memories. Mm. The only thing that I want, if we do have a remaster or remake of GoldenEye, is when you do multiplayer, even if it's online, I want the split screen up. I want that split screen up. I know that sounds crazy, but
no, that's legit.
Or at least put in the option for it.
Right.
Like, put in the option for the lobby where it's like, I'm doing split screen matches.
Right.
Like, I think that would be so awesome.
Yes. That
slappers only. Slappers only.
Yeah, slappers only. Proximity. Oh, man. The proximity mine. Oh. Okay.
Man with the golden gun.
Yes. What was your favorite setting?
Man with the golden gun. Man with big heads.
With big, yes. Big DK heads. Mode.
Yes.
DK mode. I'm all about the proximity mines because you didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
You didn't know what to do.
Yeah, like, you were nervous as hell.
If you played somebody that was about that life and they knew. I remember one time somebody put a proximity mine in a water faucet.
Holy shit. That's brilliant.
It was so fire.
That's brilliant.
So anyway, go ahead, man.
Okay. So my number one, I know I just said something about we'd be talking about a different series, but I'm going with it. You brought up Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
I want Final Fantasy VI
remade. Okay.
It's my favorite Final Fantasy game of all time. It's my favorite video game story of all time.
Wow.
The fact that the antagonist wins halfway through the game.
Shout out to the antagonist.
Kefka, man, he wins halfway through the game, so you spend the rest of the game building your party up so that you can go to his tower and fight through his hordes of demons and angels just to destroy his ass. It's got one of the most intriguing systems for parties because you've got, by the time you get to the tower, you're playing with three parties of, I believe it's four different people. So you've got 12 characters.
Nice.
And you're having to balance those parties. I remember playing this game going, I was a little too young, so I didn't beat it the first time I played it. I had to go back on GBA later when I got a little older, understood strategy a little bit more to play this. But when you get to that part where you get to the end and you have three teams that you've created, you're like, okay, so where's my magic caster going to go? Where's my healer? Right. Where's my fighter? Where's my knight? Where are these characters going to go? And I'll never forget the joy of getting to the end of Final Fantasy VI, getting to Kefka, and then pulling off, in my mind, a miracle, which was having one person left out of 12 and defeating Kefka.
Wait.
One person out of 12.
Okay, so you have to take me through that. How did that happen?
So when you get to Kefka, before you actually get to fight his final form, you go through four different boss battles. I believe it's four or five different boss battles. So by the time you get there, your potions are depleted, your heals are depleted, everything's depleted. I got to the boss battle, I only had four people left, the final one. So I had one of my teams left. So I'm thinking maybe this will be easy, right? Soon as you get in there, he does a move, this super move that drops all of your party down to one health. So it's immediately like, oh shit.
Wow.
Here we go. So immediately cast healing on, you know, I cast group heal, universal heal on everybody so that I get the mech up. Well, the way that I was actually able to do it is you have a knight character who has a jump ability. So when the jump ability occurs, he jumps off a screen, launches himself up, he disappears for a turn. He lands on the enemy's head. He does a double jump. And it's when you get them that far leveled up, the double jump does quite a bit of damage. So all my characters start dying. The only one I've got is the knight left at half health. So I start doing the jump ability. Soon as I get the jump ability, he would jump off screen. He would disappear for a turn. Kefka would attack, but there's nobody to attack.
To hit.
Nobody to hit. He'd come back down, land, launch that jump. I would do a real quick heal. I would wait a turn, take some damage, because he would do a double attack. So I'd do a quick heal, then take my damage, then do the jump again, and I just kept doing it over and over again. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe that actually worked.
So basically your knight was like a legendary Pidgeotto with the fly ability.
Absolutely. 100%. 100% right there. Man, speak of my language.
That was an awesome story.
It was so much fun, man. Like, and I want that back. Like, I want Final Fantasy VI back. And while I trust them to do Final Fantasy VII with the combat they're doing, I want VI back with that turn-based combat.
Right.
Just because that's where it really... where I feel they mastered it. Because I like the Final Fantasy VII turn-based combat, but VI to me is where it was really where it needed to be, because it was just simple enough and just complicated enough.
That's fire. That's fire. I respect your list. That actually, you gave me a lot of stuff to go back on.
Man, I'm going back. I got notes over here for years.
That's dope.
Man, like, I got to go back on some of this stuff, dude. I want to play Knights again. Like, you brought up Knights.
Oh, man.
I was like, I got to play that. Yeah, I love that game.
Knights transformed my life, so yeah. Actually, I might go get Knights real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
While I'm playing. But yeah, man, this was dope. This was dope, man. But
man, I'm glad you had fun.
I'm glad I was invited.
I'm glad you were here, man. This has been a blast. We're going to have you back on for sure.
Appreciate you, brother.
For sure. You're going to have to come on for a full episode.
I'm down for that. And of course, I know we talked about this. I definitely need you on Speak Between the Lines.
We'll
chop it up. We will let the jokes fly. I appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely. So before we sign off, before we go, again, I just want to remind people for Speak Between the Lines, where can they find you guys? What's your social media? Where can they hook up with you?
So we are, of course, on Facebook, search Speak Between the Lines. We are on IG, of course, Speak Between the Lines. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, and Google Play. Anytime you want to know if it's us, of course, we should be the only one there, but you will see a microphone, you'll see red lines saying Speak Between the Lines.
Absolutely.
And a black background, so you can't miss us.
Yeah, perfect, man. So before we go, I just want to remind everybody again, that $35 Amazon gift card contest. You can follow us on Twitter at @STT_pod. Retweet our pinned tweet. You can like us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast. You can visit us at Podbean. Just search out Skip the Tutorial. You can leave us a review on iTunes. Any of those options. Check out our Twitter. I just put a tweet up there. We have our Discord serving running all the time. If you want to connect with us, talk with us, go ahead and do that. We'd love to chat with you guys. We got a bunch of people over there, and we're all having a blast. We're having a blast with it. But until then, that's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. I want to say thank you so much for joining us, Rez.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
Sonic Mania, baby.
There we go. And I want to remind everybody, stay humble.